Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. To celebrate 103 years of movies on Spring Street in Williamstown, Massachusetts, Images Cinema will present An Evening with Charlie Chaplin, featuring three classic Chaplin shorts with live musical accompaniment from Donald Sosin and Joanna Seaton. The event will take place Monday, December 16th at 8 p.m. This will be the third time Sosin and Seaton have performed at Images to celebrate the theater's anniversary. Donald Sosin is one of the foremost silent film composers in the world. He spent decades performing at major film festivals and archives nationally and internationally. Actor and singer Joanna Seaton has been a performer for just about her entire life. Her acting credits include leading roles in over 80 productions of musicals and plays in New York City and at regional and stock theaters across the country. Donald Sosin and Joanna Seaton, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
How did you two get into this very specific line of work?
I started in college, Sarah. I was in Ann Arbor in the early 70s, way back, and had the opportunity to play for some silent films at the Campus Film Society. And then there was a series on PBS at the time called The Silent Years, and I just wrote a fan letter to the wonderful gentleman who was doing the music for that. His name is William Perry, and he lives in your listening area in Great Barrington. We became friends and colleagues, and it turned out that he played at MoMA in New York and asked me to start subbing for him. So when I moved back to New York after college, I then became his sub and eventually took his place when he left.
And I came along watching Donnie playing at MoMA, and we started performing together. We did things at CityCorp and at the Snug Harbor Cultural Center.
In Staten Island.
Yep. And then it just grew from there. And so we've been doing it ever since the 80s, really.
I imagine it's a little bit different depending on what film you're working on or where you're playing or what type of festival it is. But could you tell me more about the process, how you work together, how the scores are created, what lyrics and songs are used, etc.? Just tell me how you work together to make the music for the films.
Well, you're absolutely right. Every situation is different, and it's never, ever the same process, although it can follow a similar pattern depending on the film. If it's something that someone in the film is singing, then that gives me a cue. Sometimes we even know what song they're singing, and so we can find the music, and I can learn it, and if we see the singer's mouth moving, then I can learn to do the song and match her mouth. I don't usually sing when it's a guy singing. I think that would be a little silly. So we look for films with female singers, but there are an astounding number of them. And we just did a new one last week. We did The Racket at AFI in Silver Spring. And that was a film we hadn't done before. And it turns out there was a cabaret singer on screen, and she's doing several different songs, and so we found songs from the period that worked for that film.
I've sung occasionally too, but more often I'm at a keyboard, either a piano or a synthesizer or an organ, or I write for a small chamber ensemble or even a large orchestra, and that's a very different process than just improvising for a film that we're working on, and sometimes there's even a chance to play for a film that we've never even seen before, although less and less now with digital copies floating around the internet.
Could you tell me more about that, about how you played or sang and or sang when you hadn't seen the film yet? What was that improvisation like?
Well, it's...
exciting!
Exciting. It's really just taking a leap of faith and just saying I have to make a decision right now about what to play, what key I'm in, what tempo I'm in. Sometimes in those days, and even occasionally now still, when the film comes in from some archive around the world at the last minute and there's no chance to preview it, all you have is a description from a catalog, which may be more about when the film was made and what kind of an aspect ratio and how many sprockets per inch there are than what the actual content of the film is. So,
but Donnie's very quick at modulating. Like if he starts out doing something that he thought it was one particular year or decade or style, and he sees that it's not that, He changes very quickly.
I have a wide variety of styles. I grew up as a classical pianist. I spent a lot of time doing theater. And I like all kinds of music, and I'm able to reproduce the styles of many different composers and periods. So it's a lot of fun to try to figure out what works.
Most of the time, if we're going to have singing, we plan that a little more carefully ahead of time. And even that can backfire, because we can plan very carefully, as we did with a film called Evangeline. And I had all these beautiful songs planned, and then we got to the National Gallery in Washington and saw that while the film was rolling and the audience was sitting there, that some of my songs were cut out in the version that they had there. So I just opened my mouth and then closed it gently, and we moved on.
How much or little do you hope that the audience is paying attention to you while they're watching the films?
What a great question.
Oh, wow. No one's ever asked us
that. We don't want them to notice us at all. Although, we did a thing out in Eastern Connecticut once where we're standing, was in at a yacht club, and we're standing out in front of this hall with a large screen TV and about 40, 50 people there. And so we're doing our music for The Black Pirate with Douglas Fairbanks and singing and playing lots of noise and so forth. And at the end, somebody comes up and says, "Was that music recorded?" That's a little bit too far in the direction of not being noticed for us.
One of the compliments we like is that when people come up and say, "You know, I know you were playing, and I kept looking over at you playing, but then I would forget you were there. And I just got so involved in the film that the music just swept me away, and I kept saying, wait a minute, there are two people over there making this music. I have to remind myself this is live."
What do you think it is about these older films that is still so engrossing? Because you guys have, I was on your website before I came in here and into the studio to speak with you, and you have quite a full schedule.
They're loving it. I mean, it was a great art form at the time, and then it was forgotten about, and people are rediscovering it now. And it's very exciting to see that films, you know, 100 years old are still holding the interest of audiences.
The art direction, the quality of the cinematography, the deep experience that so many of these actors and actresses and directors had in the theater that then came into film, made for, as Joe said, it was just very engrossing to see these productions. And the thing that's happened recently, Sarah, is that many of the archives have started restoring these films to a condition which really almost replicates what they looked like when they first appeared in the teens or the 20s. So you see something which looks like it could have been made yesterday, given though that it's in black and white and it has intertitles and it doesn't have any dialogue, but it's a beautiful thing to look at on the screen and not something that you have to sort of find your way through many layers of dirt and dust and say, what am I looking at here?
And then plus, when you have the artistry of vaudevillians like Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin, who came straight out of the theater and off the stage and onto the film, and they were doing all their own stunts, it's quite magnificent. And we always make sure that we tell small kids, you know, remember, this, none of this was achieved by a computer. If Buster Keaton jumps off a roof, then Buster Keaton jumped off that roof.
You just mentioned telling that to small kids. Mm-hmm. Another part of your career is that you teach workshops to students. Tell me more about that.
We'll go to any school who's interested in having a silent film workshop. We sometimes just present a film, but most of the time we get the kids involved and we pass out percussion instruments or guitars or whatever the school has available. And we put excerpts of films up on the screen, usually with a lot of action, and we have the kids play along.
On the college level, we can do 2 or 3 day workshop. We've been in Denver a number of times over the past few years doing Nosferatu, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, and other feature-length films with music students. Some of them have never seen a silent film before. Some of them have had some experience. And we go in there, sometimes both of us, sometimes just myself, and look at the film and say, what does this need? What kind of music? We try everything. We We don't restrict this, in this case, to having to be music that sounds like it might have been in the period. So sometimes it's kind of wild what comes out, but everybody learns a lot in the process.
Yeah, we had a kid in Albany who said, well, what about playing Yellow Submarine for an adventure thing of a submarine going over the falls that was filmed in, I think, 1903. And I just, you know, my first reaction was, oh, yeah, here we go. But it was amazing. When the whole class sang Yellow Submarine, it worked so beautifully. We were just laughing our heads off.
Actually. Even to the point of where the verse ended and the chorus came in, and then there was suddenly a cut in the film to a shot of this barrel going down the rapids in Niagara Falls. It was perfect.
When you work on a full-length score, when you do write the score for a film to be released with a DVD, what is that like?
Well, it's again, it depends on the film. Yeah, it depends on the film.
Part of it has to do with the demands of the project, how the budget is, whether we're going to have just the two of us or whether we can start bringing other musicians into the picture. So we've had everything from just Joanna and me to a small chamber ensemble to even an orchestra, although I think none of the full orchestra pieces have come out on DVD yet. We've had chamber ensembles that are on DVD and Blu-ray at this point.
I am getting to speak with you today because you are going to be at Images Cinema on December 16th accompanying 3 Charlie Chaplin shorts. Have you played alongside these films before?
Yes. Yeah, they are wonderful, wonderful Chaplin pieces with just the greatest humor. We did one of them just the other night at the Hillstead Museum in Connecticut, and there were audiences that were 4 years old and people in the audience who were 80-something, and they were all just laughing and laughing.
And we've had a great time at Images Cinema, too, with Doug Jones in Williamstown on two other occasions. But this is the first time that we've done any Chaplin shorts there. And he chose one of them, The Immigrant, and we chose the other two, The Count and The Adventurer. They're all part of a set of 12 that Charlie made for the Mutual Company in 1916 and 1917, when he was really coming to the peak of his work as a performer in short subjects. After that, he went on and made a bunch of features, but these were the last of the great shorts that he made. He was the most famous person in the world. He was one of the wealthiest at that point, and people would flock to the cinemas around the world to see him and laugh their heads off.
What went into your decision to choose The Adventurer and The Count, the two Chaplin films that you chose?
Because we've been playing them before audiences, and we knew that they really work. And there are others that really work, too, but these are among our favorites. So we just suggested them to Doug, and he took a look at them and said, yeah, that's great.
I had scored The Count for a string quintet and piano, and we did that version at the Norfolk Chamber Music Festival this past summer. And so we're interested in having more performances of that, although unfortunately the strings won't be with us this time. The Adventurer is the last of these 12, and it's just fantastic. Charlie starts out as an escaped convict and ends up, as he often does, in evening dress, passing himself off as an aristocrat.
Yes.
Or something.
Donald Sosin and Joanna Seaton will provide live musical accompaniment for An Evening with Charlie Chaplin at Images Cinema in Williamstown, Massachusetts on Monday, December 16th at 8 p.m. Links to more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Donald and Joanna, thank you very much for joining us.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.